getting everyone together.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the Morning Open, a look at the broader economy as we begin trading for the day. The Fed starts a couple of days of meeting. The UN kicks off, too, looking at climate change. And from the What Not to Do football playbook, all ahead. But first, let's ask, where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now. The S&P up about a third of a percent, the NASDAQ 0.3%, and the Dow up about a quarter of a percent at 9,800 even. European shares up right now between a half of a percent and a percent, and Asian shares closed mixed today. The Asian Development Bank said today the region is leading a global recovery. It raised its growth forecast for China and India. Oil's at about $70 a barrel after sliding south overnight. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation may need a bailout, but it's thinking about asking healthy banks for money instead of the Treasury. That's the New York Times report this morning. That the idea is gaining traction as the FDIC considers ways to replenish its dwindling fund after rescuing at least 94 banks in the past year. Julie Neiman is analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So the FDIC has this $500 billion line of credit with the Treasury. Why would it rather go to banks for help?
Well, one, they need it. First of all, they have no runs on the bank as nearly occurred last year, so they need the money. Why not trap the Treasury? Well, that's about $500 billion in the line of credit, but it would be viewed as a bailout like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and politically that could be very, very touchy.
The Fed, Julie, starts its latest two-day meeting today. Unemployment, we know, is still a problem, hovering, you know, just below 10%. There are many acknowledgments that stimulus support cannot be reined in too quickly, but there are also a lot of worries on that note. What does the Fed need to say at the end of this session to boost some confidence?
Well, the first thing is, of course, that you got $1 trillion in lending and bailouts there, and zero interest rates are going to continue on for the time being because the banks still aren't lending, borrowers aren't borrowing, inflation's not a problem because unemployment's rising, factories aren't operating anywhere close to capacity, and consumers are still very cautious. So the Fed's going to make reassuring clucking noises to the credit markets because they have huge funding needs for the treasuries. And basically, they're going to be saying things like the hand is on the tiller, they'll turn the ship around if they see any atmospheric pressure building for inflation, but there is none now.
All right. Julie Neiman joining us from St. Louis. Julie, thanks.
You bet.
I appreciate it. Right now, at this moment, President Obama is giving his first speech before the United Nations. He's expected, he's already taken the podium at Secretary General Ban Ki-moon's climate change summit in New York. We're also watching the Senate Finance Committee meeting right now as it works through a health care overhaul bill. We're joined by Tamara Keith live at our bureau in Washington. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, Steve.
So this was supposed to be a compromise measure, but I hear there are, a few hundred amendments to this health care bill, right?
Yeah, members of the committee have offered 564 amendments. Some of them are total deal killers. Some of them are minor adjustments, and clearly not all of them are going to make it in. Some members are going to be disappointed. That was sort of preordained. You know, this may be a compromise measure, sort of, but it isn't a please everyone bill. Healthcare is just too divisive for that.
Yeah, what do members want then?
Well, I just saw one Republican member talking about wanting more sweeping malpractice reforms. He also said he wanted more time to work things out, like maybe a few months. Democrats want more help for low and middle income people who can't afford insurance. And Senator Baucus, the chairman of the committee, seems receptive to some of these things. He's agreed to some changes, like boosting the subsidies for low and middle income people to help them buy insurance. He's talking about reducing the impact. He was going to tax so-called gold-plated insurance plans, reducing the impact of that, and also reducing the penalties for people who don't carry insurance, either because they can't or don't want to. Also, he's trying to win over the support of moderate Republican Olympia Snow, so a lot of this is with an eye to her.
And the White House released today a new economic report arguing for the need of health legislation. What does that thing say?
Well, it says that insurance premiums are rising faster than wages and faster than inflation, which we knew.
Right.
But it also says that the rate of increase depends on which state you're in. So if you were in Alaska over the last 10 years, your premiums rose 145%, where in Michigan it was just 88%.
All right. Marketplace's Tamara Keith joining us from Washington. Tamara, thanks.
Glad to do it.
a big week for climate change, as we mentioned, the issue among the topics at the upcoming G20 meeting in Pittsburgh. And today, of course, with President Obama speaking at the UN and a meeting between Mr. Obama and Chinese President Hu Jintao, talking about it in New York, part of a major climate summit that's going on there. And Marketplace's Elisa Roth has more.
The United States produces about a quarter of the world's greenhouse gases, but it still doesn't have an official climate policy. Jake Schmidt is at the Natural Resources Defense Council, and he says President Obama's message needs to be clear.
The U.S. is back and willing to cut its absolute emissions and create clean energy.
Europe and other developed countries have been annoyed with the U.S. for not doing more to help, and they're worried the U.S. won't be able to keep promises it might make in the future. Europe's already committed to major cuts in emissions and said they'd go even further if other countries did. And then there's China. The Bush administration blamed China and other developing countries for not doing enough to cut emissions. But now China's making all kinds of promises about renewable energy. All of this is building toward the big climate meeting in Copenhagen in December, when the world's environment ministers will try to come up with a new international protocol. But many are worried there's still too many differences to reach an accord. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Another sign that the financial crisis is abating, the market for initial public offerings, IPOs, has been dead for the past year and a half. But this week, five new companies are on deck to raise money from the public and get listed on stock exchanges. That's the busiest week for IPOs since late 2007. Jill Barchet has more.
When investors are losing money on blue-chip stocks like IBM, they're not in any sort of mood for speculative investments like IPOs. Matt Regan is a senior managing partner at investment bank W.R. Hambrecht. He says investors are up for risk again because the market's jumped almost 50% since March.
Anytime the markets take off like that, what's known as the window opens for IPOs. And, you know, what happens is everybody that's got, a company that they think can tap the public markets rushes to get it out into the momentum of the marketplace.
Regan says there's a big backlog of high-growth companies that are desperate to go public. This week includes A123 Systems. It makes batteries for hybrid electric cars. And Chinese companies are expected to be a big part of this next IPO wave. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
So to live in New York City is to pay some astronomical prices for real estate. Many homeowners took on big mortgages in order to buy. But things got tough for shoppers when the credit crisis hit. Lending standards and credit requirements were tightened. And now new restrictions are making it even tougher to get a mortgage, especially on new apartments. Sally Herships reports.
Susan Combs and her boyfriend started shopping for a condo in New York City about a year and a half ago. When the financial crisis hit, Combs saw a potential silver lining: lower prices in one of the many new developments that sprang up around the city during the building boom. But it hasn't worked out that way.
It seems like if you've done everything right, you've worked really hard to save money, you've worked hard to make sure that your credit's good, and it's still not enough. I mean, the prices and the interest rates, absolutely, it's a great time to buy if you can get a mortgage.
And getting a mortgage from Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac is nearly impossible right now. Combs' credit score is higher than 700, but Fannie and Freddie have tightened up their rules for financing loans in new buildings. They won't underwrite a loan for any apartment in a new building until 70% of the units there are under contract and on their way to being sold. Brian Lochner works for the American Development Group in New York. He says this has brought sales in some buildings to a halt.
A new buyer walking in the door is going to ask you how much have you sold, and you can't lie to them. And if you're saying, well, you're going to be the third, fourth, fifth, or sixth unit sold, they're going to walk out because who wants to wait for you to sell the next 40 units?
Rather than wait, developers are turning to the Federal Housing Authority. The FHA guarantees loans up to $729,000, but its guidelines are a lot less strict than Fannie and Freddie's. Down payments can be as little as 3.5%. But even today, $729,000 doesn't buy much in New York. So rather than trying to lure in buyers who can pay bigger deposits, Lochner says development companies like his are finding creative ways to fall in line with the FHA.
We shrank each unit size so that every single one of those units fits into the FHA funding guidelines. So we went from $1 million apartments to $650,000 or $700,000 apartments.
There are about 70 buildings in New York City that the FHA has approved for financing. But unfortunately for Susan Combs and her boyfriend, only 11 of those are in Manhattan. Worse still, the FHA is rolling out new restrictions, too. From October the 1st, it will only insure 30% of loans in any one building. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Chocolate company Cadbury is now appealing to a UK regulator for help with its battle with Kraft. The American food giant is after Cadbury with a $16 billion takeover bid. From Marketplace's London Bureau, Stephen Beard has the latest.
Cadbury has asked the British Takeover Panel to intervene. It wants the panel to impose a deadline on Kraft, forcing the American company to make a formal offer to Cadbury's shareholders by a certain date or drop the bid, in effect a put up or shut up. Fund manager Justin Urquhart-Stewart says the panel has the legal power to make such an order and will likely use it.
They want to make sure that companies don't have predator companies hanging over them like vultures for months on end, and thus almost unable to carry out their business, knowing that someone's watching over their shoulder to see if they make one mistake and then they get pounced on.
He says a deadline, possibly the end of next month, could flush out a higher bid from a rival confectioner like Nestle or Hershey, or a better offer from Kraft itself. Last night, Cadbury's chief executive left that door open. He was quoted saying in the US that combining with Kraft would make some strategic sense. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Finally, Washington Redskins linebacker Robert Henson didn't like the boos he heard in his team's narrow 9-7 Sunday win over the St. Louis Rams. So on Twitter, he addressed those, quote, fake half-hearted Skins fans, and he called them dimwits. Then he waxed philosophical and asked, who are you to say you know what's best for the team and you work 9-5 at McDonald's? Upon further reflection, the rookie, in the truest sense of the word, apologized for his e-burst and said teammates pointed him to the right path in this age of social networking. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.